Golf Smarter Premium, number 528, published on February 23, 2016. Find the best golf swing that's living inside you with Kelly O'Donnell on the Harvey Pennock Golf Academy.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Kelly.
Hi, Fred. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. This is going to be fun. We kind of snuck around and talked a couple times ahead of this, and I'm really excited to get you on the show. You've got a great long history in golf with people we know. We have mutual friends, Terry Kaler being one of them.
Right. But let's
talk about, today we're going to talk about the golf course that you currently work at, Wolf Dancer, in Austin, Texas. We're also going to talk about the pace of play, which has been rated very high by your customers, which is a very nice thing to be talked about. I found it in an article recently. And then we also want to talk about, you have the new Harvey Pennock Golf Academy.
Yes, very excited about that.
And we'll talk about that
Absolutely.
As well.
Great.
So
where do you want to start?
Let's start with you, my friend.
Okay.
How, you are the director of golf and head of golf instruction for Wolf Dancer?
I am, yes. I've been here 6 years now. I was here for 3 years, left for 3 years, and then had the great opportunity. You know, who says you can ever get to go back? So I got to come back in January 2013, and I was thrilled to be offered the position. When we first opened, I was here prior to Wolf Dancer and High Lost Pines being open in June of 2006. I was able to, be the head pro at that time and did a lot more teaching then than I do now. And we'll get into that with the Harvey Pennock Academy. But so thrilled to be back here. I really felt there's a lot of things that I wanted to get done operationally, sales and marketing, my background as well in the golf industry, that I couldn't wait to get back here and just pray that, you know, just like West Coast to East Coast in 2015, that we get some stable weather. I mean, it was just crazy here, like everywhere else last year.
Yeah. What are the issues that you were having? What kind of bad weather were you having?
I comment on calling it Old Testament weather, to where we had flooding in the spring, drought in the summer, and then more flooding in the fall. So it was, we had over 70 inches of rain at our property. And it was really challenging, and it was really hard for everybody in the Austin area to remember a Saturday when it wasn't raining. So, and you know, Saturday is our big day for golf around here, of course, for everybody to play. So, you know, we did have some catch up in rounds. It really hurt us badly in the spring, but we did catch up because, you know, your regular golfer is always going to find the time to play. So, you know, if he got washed out in the spring, he'll make it up in the summer. And then in the fall. So that happened, but it was a crazy year last year for weather.
Yes. And unfortunately, it seems like it's going to continue to be unpredictable at best.
It is. Like this February, this may be the best February we've ever had. You know, it's been 65 to 80s every day. It's been cooler in the morning, but we have not, you know, we've probably had only a handful of frost delays. That's so unheard of for us. And we haven't had any closed days at all for January and February. January and February, we typically have 3 to 4 days per month where we're not even open because it's too cold.
Really?
And we haven't had any of that. It's been pretty incredible. So I'm kind of thrown off just looking outside today that it really is February because it feels like April or May. It's incredible.
So you're in Austin, Texas. What is so different about Austin than the rest of Texas? Because when you talk about Dallas or Houston, you're talking flat, big sky, high humidity, especially Houston, high humidity. Austin seems to be not only geographically and politically and thought-wise, emotionally, a very different place than the rest of Texas. What? Let's keep it on golf, I guess, but What makes Austin special?
Well, I think it's and it speaks to our property as well. All of Austin, the topography changes because you're coming into the hill country. So, you know, compared to mountains, you know, Rocky Mountains or the Appalachians, we don't have mountains, but it's hillsides. But it's beautiful. It's not. Yeah, Houston can be very flat. There's a lot of great golf courses there, but here, like what Arthur Hills did when he designed our golf course, he really didn't have to move a lot of dirt. There's so much interesting change in terrain in the whole Austin area, and it speaks for us as well. And, you know, Austin's the capital of Texas, capital live music. And, you know, the temperatures typically year-round. Now, allergies aren't the greatest here year-round, but, you know, the weather's really good. Uh-huh. And there's so many people moving here every day. It's becoming, you know, the Silicon Valley Junior, so to speak. I mean, Google's here. There's so many other companies that are moving here in technology.
Google's everywhere.
Oh, I know. Yes, I know. And it's the home of Michael Dell, but there's so many other companies that are moving here. And it's great to see. And I, what I love about that is all the tech guys that play golf. They love it. They're fanatical about it. And we just love having them in the Austin area.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think of Austin as a college town. I don't think of it as the capital.
Right. Yeah, it's both. There's a small university here, University of Texas.
Yeah, small.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How many people they get out for football games on Saturday?
Oh, quite a few. They're close to probably 100,000, I think the stadium is. They're rabid. And, you know, we don't have any professional sports in Austin, so right. That they are the professional sports, so to speak, and baseball as well. So it's a great college.
Well, Texas is a football state.
Right.
Right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And you probably see I don't have any orange on today. I'm a TCU Horned Frog, so I wear purple almost every day. So I'm not really in the right town, but there are faithful Frogs in Austin as well. Oh. But most of them are in Fort Worth. So.
Okay. And how have you always been in Austin?
Since around 1992, I've been in Austin. But I've lived basically all up and down I-35 between Dallas-Fort Worth and in San Antonio. I mean, you were talking about Terry Kaler. We started the Reed Lockhart Golf Company in San Antonio. So we started down there, and it kind of grew from there. Mm. I've given, you know, going back to Terry just a little bit, I've given him a little, you know, elbowing that, you know, that new Hogan blade looks pretty similar to our old Reed Lockhart, but it was a great iron as well. So, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at all the sandwiches today, they're still replicas of the old original Wilson staffs. They all are.
Isn't that
what are you going to do what are you going to do to improve a sandwich? You want it to look pleasing to all the players and just really mess with, you know, everybody's kind of messed with the bounce and the sole on all the wedges now.
So what makes Austin golf, because when I've talked to various people and listeners and saying, hey, I'm thinking of going down to Texas to play golf, which city should I go to? Everyone's like, oh, you got to check out Austin. Why? What is it about Austin golf that's so special?
I think it's the consistency and temperatures. So, you know, our golf courses year-round are going to be in top-notch shape. You know, we pride ourselves here at Wolf Dancer to be in tournament quality shape day in and day out, meaning that, you know, I feel like we could host a, you know, high level amateur event, a tour event every day. And that's what I really charge our golfing staff, Peter Clark, our superintendent, and all his guys to really work hard to make sure every day is quality turf, quality playing conditions. And you'll find that at any of the golf courses in Austin, you know, our temperatures are just like it is right now. You know, we really don't have a winter down here. So we get a lot of people from up north come down because they just can't play right now. So I think that's really the optimum time is almost year round for golf in Austin. And of course, the Austin nightlife is something you want to experience as well. If you get down into Austin, there's so many great music venues.
Right. That was part of the reason for coming down is we want to check out the nightlife on a Saturday night.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's great here.
Yeah.
So please come visit. Love it.
I'm coming soon. I'm very excited about this, and I'm advising all listeners to check it out.
Yeah, you'll be here next week. Can't wait to see you next week.
Next week. Let's hope the weather holds up. I don't want to come down and have...
It's supposed to hold up. Okay. You'll be good.
Okay. So
I promise.
How did you end up becoming a golf instructor?
Going back, I wish I could still find that piece of paper I had, but you remember, you know, in second, third grade where you,
what do you want to do when you grow up?
What do you want to be when you grow
really?
Up? And I wanted to be a golf pro, but not necessarily the ones that play on tour. I mean, I thought that was that's a great life. And for those who do that, hats off to them. But I always liked, and it comes back, it speaks to, you know, who I learned from my grandfather and my father. They both were ministers. And to me, you know, being a golf pro is also, you're basically a minister as well. So I always liked the idea of not only that interaction and point of pride and the people you meet playing golf, that I thought, you know, teaching that interaction, because there's no greater joy than working with somebody who's struggling and handing it all over the place and just give them a few little tips. That's my homage to Mr. Pinnock, and just seeing their face when it goes straight. And there's nothing better than that. So from early on, I wanted to be that teaching professional, that golf professional that works with the membership and, you know, creates a good atmosphere for golf, because it is a game. And we need, and we all need this game to go out and escape the day to day and everything that's going on. We're all looking for that escape.
I'm so curious to know if your father, your grandfather, when you said, yeah, golf instruction is kind of like being a minister, I see it that way, that's what I want to do, they, what were their reaction to that?
Well, I didn't really have that interaction with my grandfather, but see, when I went to TCU and I started in seminary because I was looking at, you know, becoming a minister, because at that time,
following in the family business.
Well, right. But I really enjoyed golf. I love playing golf. And, you know, I really started peaking right after college about finally figuring out my game. You know, in the early 20s, I finally peaked. I wasn't, you know, I was okay, middle of the road early on. And that, you know, and we're speaking of the day when we all have persimmon in our golf bags. So my dad, who's very philosophical, and he thought ideally the best job for me was being a small town to where I could be the golf pro during the week and preach on Sundays.
Okay. Now, was your dad a golfer as well?
Yeah, he was.
So that's how you got started playing.
Right. And my grandfather. My grandfather was a pretty good player, and he was a high school and college friend of Harvey Pinnock.
Oh,
so that's,
wow.
That's kind of my early connection to Harvey Pinnock. My grandfather graduated from University of Texas, and he was Harvey and Harvey Pinnock's family's minister. He was at Hyde Park Christian Church in Austin. So,
wow,
that was pretty neat. So I got the opportunity to take a few lessons from Mr. Pinnock, and very quiet, very unassuming, and just not, you know, like we see today. I just still love his style of teaching. And Jim Hopkins, who's going to be our director here and one of the founders of the Harvey Pinnock Academy, early on, you know, Harvey always thought, and I've been in total agreement of that, that within all of us, Fred, is a golf swing. You just got to have that instructor help you find it. You know, I'm not going to swing like Tiger ever, you know, anybody. So putting me up against Tiger, I mean, maybe if you put me up against Craig Stadler, I got a chance. I'm kidding, but you know, but you know, we've all got our own way of doing it, and trying to put us into a method, I don't think that works. It may work for some, but not for everybody. I think we've all, you know, we're long-waisted, we're short-waisted. Our strength's in our hands and our arms are in our legs. So we've all got a different way of applying the club into the ball. And I just think having an instructor like Mr. Pinnock was, like Jim is for our Harvey Pinnock Academy, and like I like to do it, is to help you find the best swing for you.
Oh, good for you. That's
hey,
awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, that is great, because, you know, we've had so many conversations with instructors who want to get you into their hitting bay and put you on video,
right,
and then compare you to Tiger and say, look at what you're not doing. It's like, I can't. I'm not built
right
that way. I don't have that flexibility. I'm you know, I'm in my 50s, you know, and he's old for his 30s, but, you know,
you know, it is, there are good ways to look at that as well. I think it's kind of neat to break down somebody's swing like Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not ever going to get in those positions. But it's good to see what, I mean, you can just see visually how much Tiger's swing has changed. His spine angle has been all over the place through the years. And I hate to see what has happened to him. And we'll get back to Wolf Dancer. But, you know, he made a lot of putts and made a lot of shots that, as we know, if you play golf long enough, the golf gods don't let you have those forever. You know, so you just look at all the.
Oh, you're becoming a preacher. Oh, hey.
I am. I'm sorry. But, you know, you look at the close up of that putt on 18 at Torrey and look at how many bounces it took.
Yeah.
And you just see it halfway there and you go, there's no way that's going in.
Right. And then it stopped.
But it's, yeah.
And hung on the lip for how long? For long enough to Nike to cash in another check.
It's, you know, he's had so many of those great runs, but, you know, which happens for all of us sooner or later. You don't want to say the luck runs out, but...
Wow, so you're not saying, yeah, his head's messed up, he's trying too many things, he should go back to... You're just saying golf gods are getting back. They're getting...
Well,
they're balancing out the everything.
You know, there's the mental side to all of that.
Of course.
And, you know, I like how Tiger got in and broke down his swing, but I really think, and we've seen that happen to a lot of different guys that play out there, that if you get rid of the natural swing and break it down to the segments, it's not gonna work in the long run. And I think that's where he is. He needs to get back to the, and of course he's had the injuries too, right, as well. So I think that's been a challenge for him.
But of course,
you know, once a lot of those guys break down the swing as much as they do, it becomes a problem after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got those amazing guys like Bubba out there. I don't know how he does any of that.
Yeah, or DJ. Right?
Right.
And
DJ
then,
too.
We can hit the ball a mile, but you're not sure about his head. And then, of course, you have the whole thing with Jordan last year. Can he do that again? Right?
And he's already proved that he can.
Yeah. I mean, people have locked him in going, okay, this is the way it's going to be for years with this kid. Really? Really? Let's talk about those golf gods again. Can it happen again? Can lightning strike?
Well, right now, the hole is just huge for him right now.
Right.
I mean, it just looks like every hole is a vacuum. And sucking his putts right in there.
So that's a confidence thing, right? I mean,
it is.
You know more than most, as anyone who's ever held a golf club, that when you're confident, your game completely changes.
Right. I mean, it's amazing how your vision broadens. I mean, I know when I'm playing well, just like I said about Jordan, the cup looks really big.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not going to miss anything. And then you get a little run of where, ooh, I had a little doubt in there, a couple of three putts, the hole shrinks. It gets smaller
and smaller.
And smaller. And then you feel like you can't, and it'll just feed into your whole game. It'll get into your whole game, too.
Right, and I've had those moments where I'll be setting up my putt, I'll be looking at the line, and I'll actually see a line on the green that's not there,
right,
but I see it, and it's like, yeah, I got this one. Done. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very rare.
You know, I wish somebody would write as well. And it's, I think it speaks more to a little bit of that book, the Zen of Golf, is how many times
Zen
have you,
Golf, Dr. Joseph Parent.
Right. Or someone in your group, and it's been like a 20, 30 footer, but halfway there you go, it's going in. I mean, and it does. I mean, that's the phenomena of our game that just is just crazy to me, but you can hit one, that feels good. It's got a chance. And then everybody, it's going in, and it does.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've had situations where I made the putt, someone made the putt, and everyone's going, it's going in, it's going in, it's going in. Oh, and it stops.
Well, then there's
that far to the left.
But see, how I approach that is they all went in.
Well, if you talk about Zen Golf, you talk about Dr. Joseph Parent of Zen Golf, he says, you made the putt, you just didn't hole it.
Right.
So that's the way that one looks. So who is your hero growing up? Did you have golf heroes growing up and playing golf?
I had quite a few. Of course, Mr. Hogan, who I worked for in the late 80s and early 90s, I really had great respect for his game. Byron Nelson as well. I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Nelson many times.
Really?
Just all those great players. The coolest thing, I think, and this was later on, the first round of Colonial, I think it was 82. I think it was right around 82. I was just finishing up college, and I went to first round of Colonial. And whenever I go to any of those tour events, I always like to find the unknowns, see what they're working on, see what they're doing. So I found this group, and this was so cool when you think about it today, but then they were nobodies. It was Bobby Clampett, Gary Hallberg, and some wild child named Fred Couples. And it was just me and some other guy, which I found out later was Fred's future wife, his first wife, were just following those guys. And, you know, I'd heard about Hallberg because he was the heir apparent to, you know, Jack Nicklaus from Ohio State. And Bobby Clampett had such a great amateur career. And then this swashbuckling guy with long hair, he and his golf bag, I still remember his golf bag. He had a old, Freddie had a Wilson staff bag, Hogan irons, and a three wood. That was it. Persimmon wow. three wood. That's wow. all I had. Because he, yeah, and you know, that loose flowing swing, which is still there. His hair is just grayed out, like all of us. But it was the most amazing thing to see all those three guys, rookies on the tour, and play. And that's when I really became a part of Freddie's crew, because, you know, he'd just throw his ball up on the tee, roll it around a little bit, not even use a tee at all. He'd just kick up some, you know, just get a little turf up. And he'd hit that three wood past both those guys.
Wow.
It was incredible. Just free flowing everything.
Yeah.
So you know, and Hallberg and Clampett were just so precision down the middle, on the green, all of that. And Freddie had this big old kind of a slice and just did it every time. And so I was really enamored with those guys, too. That was really cool.
Very cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're
That's
welcome.
A great story.
Sure.
I want to talk a little bit about Wolf Dancer, the golf course sure. that you're currently working at and running. I found an article from Golf Advisor saying top 25 U.S. courses for pace of play on Golf right. Advisor in 2015. And they did this, and it was, I'm looking here at this
right.
article. I printed it out. It says 121,000 plus reviews written by golfers on Golf Advisor in 2015. And the single greatest complaint is in a mediocre to poor review is slow pace of play. And then it talks about the top 25 courses, and they're at number 9. Congratulations. It says Wolf Dancer Golf Club. And here's what people were saying about it. Very good time. Pace of play, excellent. Finished in little over 3.5 hours. That's pretty impressive.
It is. And
would you like to comment on that, sir?
We're not open at dark either, so... Well, I think...
Do you agree with that statement?
Well, I knew I was going to be challenged with this because with our rating from the back tees, we're the 4th hardest golf course in the state. It's pretty challenging, and our footprint is very large. So when we get big groups here, it's pretty challenging to get group play, even with a scramble, under 5 hours. But...
Really?
The offset to what the ranking is, I believe, is the time of year you play. Like right now, all our native grass, which is really in between all the holes, is mowed down. So
you can
get in there, you can find the ball, you can advance it pretty easily. Spring and summer, that stuff's going to grow up. And it's beautiful, but it's 3 feet high, visually intimidating,
yes.
hard to play out of, hard to find. So right now, our pace of play is great because the time of year and just everything's so firm. And if you come out here at twilight, you know, in the afternoons, you can play in 3, 3.5 pretty easily. Most of our members tee off in the morning, and most of our regulars are right around the morning. So if you've got the opportunity to come out of here after 1 o'clock, after 2 o'clock, yeah, I can guarantee you probably 90% of the time it'll be 3, 3.5.
That's
and the
fabulous.
Other thing that helps us with that is we've got the Visage GPS system. So,
okay. Is it
you
a
know,
walk?
You start,
is it a walking course or do you have to ride?
Well, you don't have to ride. We can encourage that, but I'm seeing, which is nice to see, more and more walkers because the proximity of the first tee is kind of far from the clubhouse. So we do offer rides to the first tee, but we maintain cut throughs through the native from every green to the next tee. And we do a lot of high school and college events where they walk. So it is doable. It's very doable. But now I forgot where we were going.
Well, we're talking about pace of play and walking versus
yes.
riding.
And the GPS system as well. So
right.
with the GPS, if you haven't played here before, the first few holes, there's some blind shots and it's pretty challenging.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the GPS, you can hit the flyover. You can kind of see where it wants you to go. And it also helps us monitor from the golf shop where you are and pace of play so you're ever mindful of that. But we also, because we're in that technology, but I really like the face-to-face. We've also got, they're called marshals at other places. We call them course ambassadors here. So they'll touch base with the golfers two or three times during the round. Do you need a water? Did you run out of golf balls? You know, anything like that. Do you need, and just kind of let them know where they are on pace. So there's things like that that we do. But, you know, typically our afternoons, yeah, I think three and a half is very doable.
Wow. That's great. I mean,
now for all the listeners, yes. Saturday morning when I got 120 people out here, it's not going to be 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I wish it was.
Especially on the weekend. So when you talk about having a large footprint, does that mean you don't have like a hole goes in one direction and the next hole comes back in the other direction, then the next hole goes in the next direction, and then just back and forth and back and forth? Is it
well, there's a long, little bit of that.
A long distance between each tee, you know, from green to tee box?
There's a little bit of all that. There's some of that. But when we get into spring and summer, when all the trees have grown back out and the native is up and it's really neat, except for two or three holes, on most holes, all you see is that hole.
Okay. That's really nice.
I mean, that's it.
I like that.
So it's that good tunnel vision. I like having courses that kind of give me that tunnel vision. Yeah. So it's framed more. I hit more fairways that way. When I get on a wide open golf course, I actually hit it everywhere because I don't know where to aim it. I mean, so that helps me personally. But the footprint is just large just because of the – It's just a large piece of property. And so the routing is very nice. You start out along a wooded ridge line. You work through in some prairie. We've got some holes that, you know, can take you back to St. Andrews. Just a lot of rollingness to a lot of bunkering, very old school. And there's just so much diversity in the course itself that plays to, you know, the challenge we have is there's a lot of our competition courses have more than one course on their property. We just have the one at Wolf Dancer, and I find it myself, every time you play it, it's different. The wind's a little different.
Wow.
It's coming out of different directions. And it's really a golf course that you want to play more than once because there's so many nuances and different angles that you really learn more about what Arthur Hills was trying to do when he designed it.
I love golf courses like that.
It's so challenging. It's so much fun to play that I just tell people that, yeah, here's some other courses you can go play, but I really want you to play ours two or three more times to really appreciate it. Yeah. And you're going to play so much better that way as well.
Sure. I love courses that when I walk off, I went, okay, I want to play that again because now I get what I was supposed to do on that hole. Right.
Yeah.
I want another crack at that. I love golf courses like that.
With the GPS system, then you get to visually see where you want it to go until you've really done that.
Right.
It's still right.
Is there a lot of elevation change at Wolf Dancer?
There's quite a bit. And I was hoping before our call today that I would have a number because somebody's asked me that before. And I don't really know the number of the elevation change, but I think I should know that. But there's quite a bit. And you'll find when you come in here, next week, our drive-in, we have a 3-mile drive to the property off the highway.
Oh,
so don't get really nervous when you're at 1.5 miles with your guys and go, where are we?
Yeah, okay, I'll warn them of that.
Is this Deliverance part two? What are we going to? You know, it's not going to be like that. So it is 3 miles back in here, but you're going to find a lot of turns, a lot of rises and low spots just on the road. And basically the whole front nine is like that. I mean, it's, you know, you're going to have every type of lie you've ever not practiced is going to be here. But it's fun, friend.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
Do you have any par threes that the green is elevated so you can't see the ball land?
No, we don't.
Good. No. Because those always terrify me. Because what if you get the hole in one and you don't get to see it go in? You
know,
have you really?
I had that.
That to me is like the most anticlimactic thing you can possibly have is not see the ball go in when you finally get your hole in one. What happened to you?
46 years of playing golf. I got my first one in 2012 and it was, at White Bluff Resort, the property I was between my two times here. And, you know, hats off to me because I was playing with my boss and the owner. But one of their little signature holes there is like 165, but it's uphill. It's beautiful. I hit an 8-iron. It looked online and great. But, you know, we got up to the green So I got my wedge out and my putter because I thought it went over.
Sure.
And everybody else did too. And so
It took you a while to find
it. And then one of the guys goes, "Hey, what are you playing? Here it is in the hole." And I'm like, "All right." But yeah, we never saw it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's the whole point of a hole in one. You want everyone to see it go right. In, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm so sorry that happened to you. Wolf
but
Dancer.
I'm off the snide. I got my first one.
How many have you gotten since then?
None.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Doesn't that be crazy? You know, people who have 10, 12. And it's like, really? How do you do that? It's so funny because the one that I finally got was with this group of guys that I'm coming to Austin with. You know, everyone thought it went over the green. I'm like, no, I really think, you know. But part of the thing that we talk about a lot on Golf Smarter is getting fitted for clubs. You really should not buy off the rack. You shouldn't be playing your friend's club. You should really get fitted for your clubs. And, of course, that round of golf, because the airline had just lost all my clubs.
Oh, no.
I'm playing rented clubs.
And did you buy them afterwards? Did you take them home?
No, I did not. And I should. No, I didn't. Let's just stay there. So Wolf Dancer, the Wolf Dancer Golf Course is associated with a hotel property. So it's not
Beautiful Hyatt Lost Pines. Yeah, it's a Hyatt Regency property. 491 rooms. It's a big footprint itself. Over 60,000 square feet of meeting space. So for your group, we do a lot of convention business there. I like about it is just the way we kind of flip the light switch for our business levels is we'll do a lot of group, and then it'll be spring break, and then all the families will be here. And then we'll do a lot of group again, and then summer will be here. And it's like summer camp in the summer. It's an amazing place.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, we have a water park. We've got the river, the Colorado River, that comes to the back of the property. We do s'mores around the campfire. We've got local legends that play guitar around the campfire as well. And it reminds me of camp growing up. I mean, just, you know, swimming and hanging out with my buddies and just enjoying that, and then having s'mores at night and snow cones and everything else. And then we put the hat back on that we've got some really serious business meetings going on here, and then some golf with the business people and with the families. So it's a great conceptual property that really can change the hat it needs to wear for whoever's driving in the front gate.
And with all the great things going on in Austin, it sounds like the type of property that you can come there for a long weekend and never leave the property.
Right. And that's the way it's the way it's designed. We're so far back in here. We really want you to stay. And, you know, we've got 8 food and beverage outlets as well.
Wow.
The food here is incredible. You can go from the very casual lunch at our golf grill as well. You know, more of a golfer's fare, but we also do very nice dinners there at night as well in the spring, during spring break and summer. And then we have our Stories restaurant is fine dining. And then we have our 3-meal restaurant, Firewheel, which is open all the time. So it's, and at the pool, you can get all the fun food you want as well while you're getting out of the lazy river. So it's great. I love it. I come to work with a smile on my face every day because it's a great
lucky
place
man.
To work.
You're a lucky man. Yeah,
I am. And before I forget, speaking
yes,
of lucky man, it's my wife Jan's birthday today. So I wanted to wish her happy birthday
happy
as well.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Yeah.
I'm glad
exactly.
You're watching.
Yep.
okay, let's get back to Wolf Dancer for
could,
a minute.
She could be.
She could be. She could be. Well, she can watch it later and we can still say happy birthday. I hope you had a great day,
Jim. Love that.
Great.
Yep.
Great. Let's get back to the golf course for a minute. Tell me about your favorite par three.
I'm torn. And I'm torn, you know, when we talk about favorite holes out here, because there's so many really good ones. Probably number 12.
Why?
It's called Top of the World, and when you go on our website, you can see it. It plays a maximum of about 170. On average, we'll play it probably 120, but it's right on the top of the ridgeline, so when you sit up there, it's the highest part of the property, and right past the green, you can see the concept of the property being a settler's village. Oh. I mean, you just get, and you can see for miles up there. And it's also, excuse me, for many people looking to get married, we do a lot of weddings on that tee box. I mean, that's how beautiful it is up there. It's very tranquil. It's right up in the sky. And it's just it's an amazing little par three. And it's diabolical because if you don't hit the green, it's gone. It's kind of like the wooded version of Sawgrass, 17th Sawgrass. So you'll see next week.
Okay.
You'll find out next week.
Tell me about your favorite.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, the course sounds beautiful. Tell me about your favorite par four.
Number 15.
Number 15.
Plays, tips out about 320 at the most, but you play through large pecan trees. So it's a great risk reward hole. The green is a push up green. So, you know, you can take driver at it, but you know, most of the success I've had there is just hitting a 4-iron and a wedge because the green is so pushed up. It's really small. It's really hard to get a wedge very close to it, but it's just, you know, in this day, especially on tour when they're all about the bombers and making the holes longer, you don't have to do that. You know, playing at Riviera this week, I love, you know, number 10 there and the challenges they have. And that hole is very short.
Yeah.
And so I like to see a lot more quality holes that don't have to be, you know, with the U.S. Open when they're playing a par four that's 520. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. Courses have gotten way too long for the average golfer. It's not fair that they're spending all that money for one event every 30 years, if at best, you know, it just it doesn't make sense to me. And plus,
it's a game.
They're playing into these guys' hands as far as if you're making it longer. That's what they do. They hit it longer. But how's their short game? Let's test them there like you do to us.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And that's what, you know, everybody was so nervous. And I love how Marion held up in the Open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was great.
Yeah.
It was good to see that. Borderline, some of it is because it got so firm, but I loved seeing a shorter course being used for a major, and it held up well.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Tell me about your favorite par five.
That's got to be number 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's called All of Texas.
Why?
The tee box is perched up in the trees, so it's about 620 from back there. But in the spring and summer, it's downwind, so it's not too bad. But when it's typical to, you know, we talked about number 12, the par three, top of the world. When you stand back there, you can see for miles. You can see for miles away.
Wow.
And it's also, when I alluded to earlier, a few holes that remind you of, you know, probably playing turn of the century with old Tom Morris. I mean, this hole, even though it's really lengthy, there's not a tree on it. But there's 15 bunkers. So there are all these dune-like bunkers that you see. And it's just a very different golf hole than truly the rest of the property. So I just like that, you know, we have so many memorable holes. And it's a lot of fun to play, but you really got to navigate your way between all those 15 bunkers. And the cool thing, which I've not experienced any Scottish or Irish golf yet, but people have told me that I've been there. So when you stand on the green and you finish, and you turn back and you look back to the tee, you don't see any of the bunkers.
Wow.
At all. That's really cool. So I love that. And it's really a wow hole when we'll take people up there for a site visit that are looking at visiting the golf course or bringing a group here. We'll come right off number 2, which you really play in the woods, and you come up to number 3 tee, and I say, take a look to the right, and they go, oh, wow. Because they just get to see all of that vista. And the 15 bunkers you got to navigate. So
amazing!
It's a great par five.
Yeah, let's get started talking about the Harvey Pennock Golf Academy, which I'd never heard about. Is this an all new golf academy? Is this has many different locations? Give me the history of the Harvey Pennock Golf Academy.
So Harvey Pennock Golf Academy was started at Golfsmith when Golfsmith still was truly, you know, one or two stores just in the Austin area before they went throughout the United States. It started over 20 years ago. And Jim Hopkins, who's our director, was one of the original teachers there. And it was, you know, for Golfsmith, it landed into their business that they were trying to fit people and offer lessons. And it worked very well there. In fact, Jim said, you know, they had over in the life of the school there, over 25,000 people came into Austin to go to that school based on, you know, just their knowledge of reading the little red book Harvey Pinnock put out. And he's got four now, but, you know, just his legend, you know, of working with Ben Crenshaw and Tom Kite, who are both UT, University of Texas players. And I tribute, you know, Mr. Pinnock's teaching style as well, to look how different a Crenshaw and a Kite are as golfers. But he knew exactly how to work with both of those gentlemen to make them the best players they could be. And so...
And is that the guiding philosophy of the school?
It really is.
Every golfer is unique.
Right. Like I mentioned before, you know, we all are trying to help you find the golf swing that you have within you and work with that the best you can. So it's non-invasive. There's no pressure to it at all because, you know, we want you to enjoy the game of golf. So, you know, the Academy's been around for that long. And when Golfsmith was purchased by another golf company out of Canada, they felt like the Academy either, you know, I don't know exactly what happened, but the Academy had run its course at Golfsmith, didn't really feel like they wanted to continue that. So it kind of went away. But Jim Hopkins, realizing that there was still a need for this Academy, you know, there's still some loyalty there to Mr. Pinnock and the foundation of what his teaching principles were and just the following of his book, he asked his son Tinsley, would it be okay if I carry on the Pinnock Academy? And he found another location in Austin and did it there for a while, but really felt like, and he was successful there, but he really felt like he needed a property that also had a hotel, because a lot of the people that were coming in were flying in and didn't live in our region, Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston. He still gets a few of those, but most everyone that was coming to the school was flying, you know, like this time of year, getting out of the cold somewhere else, you know, from West Coast, East Coast, really north.
And that's why we're coming. We have one guy who he kind of guides us in our foursome because he comes from Chicago and he's had, he goes crazy not getting to play golf over the entire winter. And so that's why we're doing that. Yeah.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
So Jim approached me, just came in my office. I've known him a while, just came in my office and he and I have always got along very well. I mean, we're very low-key individuals. And he just politely asked, have we ever had an academy here? I said, no, it's been rather frustrating for us at Wolf Dancer because we've been approached by different kind of academies, different individuals, and, you know, different high-profile academy people. And it just never felt right. Mm-hmm. But my connection through my grandfather to Mr. Pinnock, what he meant to the Austin area, what he means to the game of golf, and our relationship with Jim, I just said, this feels right. Let's do it.
That's great.
And so we are, and I'm thrilled about it.
So to the uninformed, which I have to admit, I'm one of them. I've heard of Harvey Pinnock. I know that there's the Little Red Book, Harvey Pinnock's Little Red Book.
That's the original.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and was Harvey a tour player? Was he just a great instructor? Who was he, and where did this all come from? Do you know much of that?
Well, I know a little bit just to be dangerous.
Okay.
I know he was.
It's more than
he
I
was
know.
A very good. He was a very good golfer early on. He was the original. And this is really neat for Austin Golf, Austin Country Club, which was founded in the 1890s. They've only had three golf pros.
Wow.
Harvey Pinnock was the first one. His son Tinsley was the second one. And my good friend Dale Morgan is the current head golf professional at Austin Country Club.
And how long has Dale been there?
I think 20 years now.
Wow. Amazing.
So Austin Country Club is in the minds of everyone, especially here, but on tour, because we have the Dell Match Play event next month at Austin Country Club. So there's going to be a lot of exposure about Harvey because that was his club.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a lot of talk about that. And the timing is great for us to unveil the Harvey Pinnock Golf Academy here, because it'll be spoken to and spoken about as they play the matches at Austin Country Club. It's the last week in March. It'll end on Easter Sunday.
So we got a scoop here on Golf Smarter. We get a head start before anybody, huh?
Right. Yeah, awesome. We do. So I'm anxious to see how the players do at Austin Country Club, because it's a Pete Dye design. It's really neat. It plays the front nine. They're going to switch nines. So they play down by the river. It's beautiful down there. And then up into the hills. And you know Pete can make something as challenging as you want it to be. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how those guys navigate in their matches around the golf course. But yeah, Harvey was the original golf professional at that club.
And this is will this be the only Harvey Pinnock Golf Academy in operation?
This is it.
Wow,
this is the one.
Okay.
Now, you know, you just put a little light bulb in my head. Wow, if it takes off, great. We might look at doing it at, for within Golf Hyatt, there are three other sister properties.
Well, that's a
the
great
Hyatt
place
Hill
to
Country
start. Yeah.
In San Antonio is a sister property of ours. Park Aviara, which has the Kia LPGA event every year, is one of our sister properties in San Diego.
Okay.
And then
Hyatt only has four golf courses associated
that are managed by Hyatt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, when for any of our hotel guests, they can truly play a golf course associated with a Hyatt hotel worldwide. There's about 35, but they're not managed by Hyatt. But the guests don't know that, and it doesn't matter
them
at all. So, when a guest pulls up Golf Hyatt, they'll actually see over 30 opportunities to play golf at different places around the world while staying at a Hyatt. So
let's just say I'm coming down for the weekend. I'd like to get some instruction. I want to do a weekend course, but I also want to, a weekend of instruction. But I also would like to get some golf in as well. Give me my itinerary for that weekend.
And we encourage that.
Awesome.
We can do it a la carte do whatever you want to start with. We really like to examine what you're struggling with, what you want to work on. So predominantly every morning is, we're working on what you want to work on, do some film for you. And then in the afternoon, because, you don't want to do instruction all day long. The mind can only take so much.
Especially
with
golf.
So every afternoon. Right. So in the afternoon, we set you free. You can go play as much as you want, or just go play a little bit and practice whatever you want to do. It's no challenge. We want you to enjoy it. So we'll do a little instruction in the morning, have a little lunch, and then let you go do what you like. We'll go work on it. That's what we'd like you to do.
And what is the basic philosophy of the Harvey Pinnock Golf Academy at Hyatt Lost Pines.
We want you to get lost in the pines.
Oh,
yeah.
That was sweet.
So the philosophy, which we've touched on many times, is that truly Harvey's philosophy is that we're all if you've got any kind of athletic ability, you should be able to be a pretty good golfer. Everybody's got pretty good hand-eye coordination. If you've done other sports, that helps. But we can, truly just working with you, we can help anybody's game. And it depends on how serious or how you just want to, not embarrass yourself with your family or your friends. I mean, it's as much as you want to get out of it. I mean, and that's what we love about the game of golf, too. It is so honest. If you haven't been playing or practicing, sadly, you're going to know the results you're going to get. So his philosophy is great that, just help you find the way to be the best golfer you can be. And that's all we want.
And you have all the modern conveniences of electronics and video and flight monitors, everything that Harvey never had, but probably knew instinctively. But you have all the tools for you.
Yeah, he really, and especially later in his life when his vision wasn't very good and he couldn't see, ball flight's very important.
Of course.
So for everybody. But he got to where he couldn't see it. but he went by sound. I mean, how amazing is that? He went by how solid it was. And that's how he taught his later years. I mean, just by how solid it sounded.
Well, also, at that time, there probably weren't what we call forgiving golf clubs where you can,
golf balls, right? You really had to hit it pure.
Yeah, it probably sounded completely different when you did get the chance to hit it pure.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, and that's a tribute to, you know, the Hogans, the Nelsons, and the Sneeds at that time to shoot the scores they did with the equipment they had. It's incredible.
Mm.
You know, I can remember, you know, the older golf balls that would go out around in three holes.
Wow.
I mean, and, you know, and now most golf balls are just, you can go two or three rounds with them.
Oh, yeah. If you can hang on to it for that long.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Out here, you might not.
Uh-oh. All right, I'll bring more balls than
golf balls. So.
Okay, I wasn't planning, since it's the first round of my weekend, I wasn't planning to bring that many balls, but I will.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm getting I got a little feedback on the last line, but it's gone now.
Okay. All right, well, I'm very excited about coming to Austin, Texas and meeting you and getting a chance to work with you. And I look forward to getting to see Wolf Dancer and having a great pace of play. Well, not with my foursome, but I'm really excited.
Absolutely,
about it.
Fred.
So, Kelly, thank you so much. Kelly O'Donnell, the director of golf for Wolf Dancer Golf Club in Austin, Texas. I really appreciate you coming on to the Golf Smarter podcast, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Thanks, Fred. We'll see you next week.
Well, he's going to see me a lot earlier than that because I'm leaving for Austin tomorrow and I'll be taking a clinic at the Harvey Penick Academy and playing at Wolf Dancer, Terra Vista, and the Avery Ranch golf courses. Hopefully we'll get Brent Brown, head pro at Terra Vista and Avery Ranch, to be on the show as well. One more thing, I'll only be asking this a couple more times, but right now, right this moment, could you please go to golfsmarter.com and click on the survey icon to fill out our listener survey? This survey will help us to determine who's listening and what you want to hear more and less of. But it's also incredibly important information for us to have when approaching sponsors for future episodes. But as a premium subscriber, you won't hear those ads. I still got to sell them, though. I really appreciate some of the comments that were left last week, and that's just part of why it would be great help to get your feedback. Follow the Golf Smarter Facebook page for ongoing conversations and at Golf Smarter for announcements for our live blab events. You know, you can find all of that and let me know if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions right at golfsmarter.com.